The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And it's our final hour together today. How can we best spend it? I know how we can best begin it when there are basic truths to be divined. Dr. Sebastian Gorka can help us. When there are complicated stories like this, this odd and disturbing killing of this Saudi reporter, I think Dr. Gorka can be of service there. And he serves us all in the pages now of his latest book, Why We Fight, Defeating America's Enemies Without Apologies, with no apologies. Dr. Gorka, welcome back, sir. Nice to have you. How are you?
Great to be back. Thank you for having me.
It is our great joy. Listen, let me dive into the book first, and then let's do some current events and some politics. I'm intrigued by the subtitle. It's called Why We Fight, Defeating America's Enemies With No Apologies. Why in the world would we need to say that the fights that we engage in should be with no apologies? When did the era of apology start?
It began 10 years ago when a senator from Illinois that nobody had heard of became the president of the United States. So Barack Obama, lest we forget, I know it's, you know, we want to kind of file it in the round filing cabinet, but Barack Obama started his presidency with a global apology tour, apologizing for the United States. Basically, anything bad in the world, from quote-unquote global warming to terrorism, was said to be the fault of the United States. Well, that ended on January the 20th, 2017, when Donald J. Trump became the 45th president, and now we are proud of who we are. We don't apologize for our Judeo-Christian heritage, and we will stand tall and stand shoulder to shoulder with any nation that shares our values and wants to work with us. So American leadership is back, and that's a good thing for the world.
Is that part of why everyone is freaking out? Is because the globalists and the Europhiles want us so much to be in their image that a bold president sticking up for America's best interests, it's going to break some eggs. It's going to rattle some cages. And I think that's why the temperature is so elevated.
Well, the only people who are freaking out are the postmodern multiculturalist utopians who believe that America is a bad thing, and let them freak out. Those people who understand that the world with American leadership is a safer place, they understand, and they're very, very happy that we have somebody like Donald J. Trump in the White House. I mean, this is one of the reasons I wrote Why We Fight, to explain what happens when you don't have America in its rightful place. Just one metric. Forget about politics. Well, when Obama left the White House, we had 65 million refugees in the world. That is a historic record. We had less refugees in 1945 after 6 years of war, the Holocaust, and the bombing of Nagasaki. When America withdraws from the world, Russia invades its neighbors, North Korea launches missiles over the Sea of Japan, ISIS is created out of a small Al-Qaeda outfit in Iraq. That's what happens. But not anymore. Under Donald J. Trump, we are back.
The pages of Why We Fight are filled with broad concepts punctuated by certain figures in history. Let me take a look at just a couple of them. Your first chapter, Why We Must Always Be Ready to Fight, mentions a guy whose name I know as a Maryland kid because there was a school not far from mine named after him, Stephen Decatur, a Commodore from, I guess I want to say, the War of 1812 era. Why is he important?
So, Stephen, yeah, there's big strategic analysis in the book about threats and what the president's going to do about them. And then there are these four vignettes, I call them, of American heroes, incredible people from throughout our history, some of whom are not familiar, some who we have unfortunately forgotten. Stephen Decatur is, to this day, the youngest ever captain in the U.S. Navy. And not long after our country was founded, once Jefferson was president, he decided we're going to stop this thing called the Barbary Pirates. This was our first war against the jihadists. And Stephen Decatur, as a very young officer, led a covert Marine Corps unit to recapture or scuttle one of our ships that had been captured by the Kingdom of Tripoli. And he did so successfully and was rewarded with the youngest captainship in the U.S. Navy. So Stephen Decatur, a great role model for Americans and also an illustration that we have been at war with the jihadis for almost 200 years.
This is not new. And it's funny because you and I are of roughly the same age, meaning we were sort of kids in the ascendancy of Yasser Arafat and the Six-Day War in 1967. I mean, that's sort of viewed as a Middle Eastern Israeli versus Palestinians thing, but that was the beginning of the half century of the most modern incarnation of global jihad.
Yeah, so in my first book, Defeating Jihad, I map the evolution of this globe, what I like to call the global jihadi movement, and it didn't start on September 11th, didn't start in the 1960s. It actually started in 1928 when the Muslim Brotherhood was founded in Egypt, and for the next 90 years, they tried to recreate the caliphate, the theocratic empire of Islam, and they did under President Obama's watch when ISIS reestablished it in Syria and Iraq. So yes, this is a much, much older issue.
And it seems like a good opportunity now to jump right into today's headlines. We're talking to Sebastian Gorka, his book, Why We Fight, Defeating America's Enemies with No Apologies. Okay, it's not everybody's white hats, black hats. They're not everybody's all good guys, bad guys. So here we have Saudi Arabia, a very repressive regime, a human rights disaster, but a vital ally in the war on terror. They apparently, either accidentally or not, kill a journalist who was critical of them there in the Saudi consulate in Turkey a couple of weeks ago. Huge pressure now on President Trump to rain down sanctions on Saudi Arabia. What's your view of what's really going on here?
Well, first things first, we have to dispense with all the fake news reporting. Number one, this man isn't a journalist and he's not an American. He was an opinion writer for several publications, and he was a resident alien in the United States. Number two, this is an individual with very insalubrious connections in his past. He knew the bin Ladens. He was very closely tied to the Muslim Brotherhood. So this is an individual who is less white than the driven snow. Nevertheless, no excuse for what seems to be what the Saudis did to him, but it must be understood in the broader geopolitical context. Khashoggi, who was the nephew of the biggest arms dealer of the 20th century, Khashoggi is basically caught in the middle between two nations that are vying for control of the Sunni Muslim world, the neo-Ottomanist Erdogan, Turkey of Erdogan, and Saudi Arabia, where Islam was founded in the 7th century. So he is stuck in the middle of this geopolitical competition between these two states.
Am I correct that Trump's enemies are hammering him to cut ties and create awkwardness with the Saudis because they know that the Saudis, warts and all, are some of our strongest allies against global jihad?
They just want to hammer him whatever.
I mean, exactly. It's Tuesday.
The narrative that we've had for the last week, that this is, it just tells you that they're saying, how could they do this to an American journalist? This is a function of the president. What American journalist? You mean the Saudi national who wrote commentary pieces? It's the difference between fake news and truth. And yes, it's the same way they wish to engender, tension between America and Russia as if there weren't enough already. So they never care about the national interest. It's always about making political hay.
So to tie a bow around this, if you are still, directly advising the president, what do you want him to do in these coming days?
He's doing it. He's sent one of his toughest guys to the Middle East. He's sent Secretary Pompeo, first in his class at West Point, a former director of the CIA. Mike will get to the bottom of it. And when we know the facts, so let's wait for the facts. We're not going to give our game plan away. It's not what the Trump White House does. When we know the facts, there will be repercussions, very likely, for Saudi Arabia. I would put them in the trade, diplomacy, and the military aid basket, but nothing more than that, because right now the Middle East is still, thanks to Obama, a powder keg, and we have to balance the competition between the Shias of the Iranian regime and the Sunnis.
Sebastian Gorka is here. His latest book is called Why We Fight. Having talked about the Trump White House and what they do, I remember, I guess, from January till August of 17, your time in there. And I always like to understand things as best I can. And you're here. So let me ask, when you left the White House, I seem to recall you saying that you had a concern that there were people in the president's some concentric circle who were really kind of undermining the entire Make America Great Again premise. And now just days ago, there's Melania on with ABC talking about how there are people in the White House that neither she nor the president can really trust. What the heck is going on there?
Yeah, so you can read my decision-making process in my resignation letter to the president. The whole text is still up, I believe, at Breitbart.com. back when I resigned in August of last year, it was very simple. There were key individuals, H.R. McMaster, the then National Security Advisor being one of them, that were undermining those individuals like myself who had been on the MAGA train since the beginning. I started advising the president as a candidate in the summer of 2015, and there were people in the White House who really should not have been there. Now, a lot of that has changed. It's an incredible, incredible turn of events to have John Bolton replace H.R. McMaster, to have Mike Pompeo move from the CIA to the State Department. These are all massive changes to the period when I was in the White House. But I was disheartened, but also happy at the same time to hear the First Lady say what she said, because it needs to be said. Not at the top level. There's nobody at the top level anymore. But there are still people, and I can, I know who they are, inside the White House at lower levels, who don't like the president, don't believe in the MAGA agenda, and really shouldn't be there.
Yeah, and that's how you get things like that stupid op-ed in the New York Times. You never know. Then a couple of other names. Since you have what was the deal with Nikki Haley? People leave public service.
Let me be very clear.
Please do.
Okay, there is no deal with Nikki Haley. I mean, it really drives me nuts that even conservative websites and radio shows, put on their tinfoil hats. Guys, look at the video of the press conference. This woman wasn't fired by tweet like Rex Tillerson.
Right.
She was in the Oval with the president. Watch the body language. These two people like each other. They respect each other. There's no hidden agenda, no conspiracy theory. She served her 2 years incredibly admirably, and now she's making room for somebody else. People need to understand, doesn't matter who's the president, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, work at that level chews you up and spits you out. 2 years as UN ambassador is a good stint in any administration.
I think that makes enormous sense, and I think there's a large army of Trump haters who salivated at the notion of her primarying him in 2020. I will say that if we give everybody that short leash and say that the nature of the biz, it's probably a good idea to wait till after the midterms. Just saying, just a citizen, just saying. Last name to talk about is Mattis. I love Mattis. Mad Dog, how do you not love him? Now here's president. Now here's the president calling him a half a Democrat. What's going on there?
Look, Mattis has been superb. Any man who, can so channel the president in his language. Remember when he said to North Korea, if you threaten us, we will destroy your regime. I mean, that's who you want dealing with these kinds of people. But it's not a secret to anybody. This was a general who was socialized in the Clinton and Obama years, and he does have a lot of friends who are Democrats. He's an amazing Marine. He's an amazing Marine Corps legend. And again, it's about results. So forget about the garbage palace intrigue stories. Look at the results. Look at what this man has done as defense secretary. And all you need to know is he has been a superb defense secretary.
Deep insights on the daily news and historical overviews as well. The latest from Sebastian Gorka is Why We Fight, Defeating America's Enemies with No Apologies. Dr. Gorka, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you. Continued good luck, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
pleasure was mine. God bless you and the listeners.
Thank you, sir. All righty. Dr. Gorka, 922, Mark Davis, 660 AM. The Answer. All righty. 937 866 660 5759. Lots of things going on in the news. And there are a lot of things on the calendar. There's just, man, the dance card is full. There's a lot going on. We got station events. We got things going on in the news. Little election we're going to be paying attention to 3 weeks from today. But right now, I want to divert you to something that I'm going to be doing lunchtime a week from tomorrow. And I would like very much for you to be in the building. It is the Army Scholarship Foundation. And they have a luncheon coming up. And their chief executive of the Army Scholarship Foundation is Jeff Galt. And so they were kind enough to invite me. So I figured I'd invite him back and tell everybody what we're about to and how they can attend. Jeff, how you doing, sir?
Fine, Mark. Thank you.
Tell everybody what the Army Scholarship Foundation is, and then we'll tell them about the event and how they can go.
Well, since 2001, the Army Scholarship Foundation has provided academic scholarships to our military family members. You know, they make as many sacrifices as the military members do, and this is our way to say thank you to them for their service. And so we're having a benefit luncheon, Help Our Heroes Luncheon, on Wednesday the 24th, 11:30, at the Brook Hollow Golf Club at 8301 Harry Hines. And all of the information to sign up and attend is on our website, which is www.armyscholarshipfoundation.org.
That's it. Go to armyscholarshipfoundation.org. I think there's an events tab, and if you go to that, look for that Help Our Heroes logo, and there it is. It is a week from tomorrow. I'm enormously proud to be the MC. So who do I get to hang out with? You, obviously, but who do we have coming by?
Well, we have our guest speaker is Lieutenant General Jim Dickinson, who is the commanding general for Army Space Command.
Uh-oh, don't tease me. Don't tease me about space subjects.
Space and Missile Defense Command. So
very,
very knowledgeable, one of the most knowledgeable guys in the country about missile defense and the threats and so on, and I think he'll speak a little bit about that. And we have a number of local congressmen who are on our advisory committee, and hopefully will be coming. Pete Sessions and Kenny Marchand and Sam Johnson, either they or some of their staff members. Ambassador Robert Jordan from SMU is one of our advisors, and a number of other local dignitaries, business leaders. Larry Patterson from Glass Doctor is a tremendous supporter. So quite a few folks from local businesses hopefully will be in attendance. They're certainly supporters of us.
Well, I can't wait to hang out with you. I get to MC this wonderful thing. It's the Help Our Heroes Luncheon. It's a week from tomorrow, October 24th, at Brook Hollow, right there on Harry Hines. Again, go to armyscholarshipfoundation.org. Click on the events tab. You'll see the Help Our Heroes logo. It says View More, and then click on that, and that's how you get in. Now, anything called the Army Scholarship Foundation has scholarships at its heart. What are those, and who gets them?
Well, we give scholarships to spouses of active duty enlisted soldiers as well as children of soldiers. We have given hundreds since our founding in 2001, and it's a very competitive process. Unfortunately, we don't have enough funds to award to all of the scholarship applicants, really only about half. But they have a great track record, these young people. In college, they graduated at a 90% rate compared to nationwide college graduation rate around 60%. They are deserving because they've moved all around the country. They've gone through the tribulations of having a loved one deployed, often in harm's way, changing schools, lower income opportunities. So it's a very deserving group, and this is our way to say thank you to our military.
And how did you get involved?
Oh, years ago, my wife was in a similar organization, and some of the founders of this nascent, then nascent organization, called looking for somebody to help them, and somehow she volunteered me.
That's a good thing. That is a good look, and look what has come of it now. She gets you to volunteer, you call me, I invite people. It couldn't be better. And this is the Army Scholarship Foundation. Their website, armyscholarshipfoundation.org. Go to there, click on events, and you'll see the Help Our Heroes logo. That's the luncheon that is a week from tomorrow. I get to emcee it. Jeff is there, lots of dignitaries, and special speaker, Lieutenant General Jim Dickinson, Commanding General of the U.S. Army Space and Missile Defense Command. So you know I'm on board. So let's get everybody on board to help the great cause and go to armyscholarshipfoundation.org and find the Help Our Heroes logo there under the events tab, and we'll see you at the luncheon there next week. Can't thank you enough, Jeff. Thank you for having
me. Thank you, Mark.
I look forward to seeing you guys, and I'll be talking about it between now and then.
Great. Thank you.
You bet. God bless. That's Jeff Galt, again, armyscholarshipfoundation.org. These folks are so great, and what they are able to do for military families, just magnificent. And when I've done this for them, I guess, a couple times, and when I heard that it was General Dickinson, the commanding general of the U.S. Army Space and Missile Defense, I'm in. I am in. All righty. Well, we are in for the final 17 minutes of show here. So grab a line, 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. Let me take you through a couple of things in this final home stretch of 3 weeks before the election. I've given you the House is complicated. The Senate is not. The Senate is going to be more Republican after Election Day than it is now. We right now have 51. I think we're looking at 55, 56. Okay, somewhere in there. And you know how the Senate goes, right? Everybody has a six-year term. There are 100 senators, so kind of do the math. Every 2 years, one-third of them come up for re-election. So this is Ted Cruz's time. It's his six-year cycle. Isn't it wild that Ted Cruz only been in the Senate for 6 years? Feels like he's been there for 20. That's how much he's gotten done. That's how deep his impact has been. So Ted Cruz comes up for re-election this year. Next up for Texas, our other senator, of course, is John Cornyn, and he comes up in 2020 because he first arose in 2002. This is why it's probably a good time for me to revisit why it's extremely important to deliver to Ted Cruz the resounding victory that will extinguish Democrat passion. Same exact situation with the aforementioned Pete Sessions facing this challenge from Colin Allred. It has to be a resounding win so that Democrats will simply say, wow, hey, we tried. You know, hey, we tried. So when I've told you that Pete is going to beat Colin Allred, and he will, and when I tell you that Ted Cruz is going to beat Beto O'Rourke, and he will, I know those campaigns, I say this all the time, they scrunch up their faces and go, talk show boy, you're killing us. We need urgency. All right, I'm going to deliver the urge. I can't sit here and say, oh, that Beto and Ted's a close race, because that's a lie, okay? It's a lie. But I'll tell you what, it can become one. If we're lazy on election day, there's no reason on paper for this to be a close race. There's no reason on paper for Colin Allred to be anywhere near Pete Sessions. Do you know whose house Colin Allred walked into a month ago for a fundraiser? A woman named Laura Otting. Laura Otting is a hard left activist who had an interesting tweet in August of 2017. F the patriarchy. F the white male standing by in silence. F the Bible voters who looked away and believed the worst rumors about her instead of facing up to the worst facts about him. F those who think they're being replaced because they have to, for the first time in their privileged lives, compete with people who spend their days being twice, thrice, four times as good to still just get table scraps, blah, blah, blah. I don't care about anybody's politics, their feminism, their radicalism, or even the work in blue. However, if Colin Allred walks into a fundraiser at the home of somebody who has this kind of vulgar Twitter history and this kind of radical leftist nonsense. The only reason I say this I mean, it's kind of funny. If this is Maisie Hirono or Kamala Harris, whatever, right? But Colin Allred is trying to snow you into thinking that he is some kind of middle of the road, above it all, nonpartisan. Hey, I grew up here. Look at me at Hillcrest. And, oh, look at me doing all these swell things. And by the way, he seems to be a really good dude. All right? There's nothing personal about this. But Colin Allred is a liberal Democrat. There's no just left of center kind of old school Texas Democrat. No, he is a modern Democrat, all in for Trump impeachment, all in for weaker borders, all in for tax increases, all in for this disaster known as Medicare for all. And so just know that if you want a liberal Pelosi-style Democrat, vote for Colin Allred. If you don't, then don't. It is that simple. And when Beto comes at you with that big camera in his face ad that says, you know, if we stop thinking about each other as Republicans and Democrats and just as Texans and Americans, what a steaming load of crap that is. Of course he views himself as a Democrat. He should view himself as a Democrat. And his ideas are poison to any conservative. Poison to anyone who feels that America has benefited from conservative policies or that our state has benefited from conservative senators. Because we got two of them. And we better keep them both, because here's the upshot. If we are lazy, asleep at the switch, and Cruz only wins by like 3 or 4, Democrats will go nuts. Look what we almost did. And they'll go gunning for Cornyn. And the Cornyn of 2018 is a darn sight better than the Cornyn of, you know, 2011, just to pick a year. And I've loved Senator Cornyn for years. But there have been a couple of times like, could you ramp it up a little bit, sir? And boy, has he. Cornyn during the during the whole Kavanaugh confirmation, I mean, and boy, hit that Twitter feed. It's filled with the kind of conservative energy that we've always said we wanted in both U.S. senators from Texas. So we can't have the Democratic Party going, oh boy, okay, we almost beat Ted Cruz. Let's go all in for Cornyn. No, we need the Democratic Party to walk away with its tail tucked between its legs going, dang, I guess it is Texas. All right, let's do that. Let's do that in the Senate, and let's do that in District 32 with Pete Sessions and deliver both Cruz and Sessions the resounding victories that will have the desired effect. So anyway, in the Senate, I think we're going to pick up 4 or 5, and that's because 1/3 of the Senate is running. 1/3 of the Senate runs every 2 years. And this time, just the way the calendar has worked out and the map has worked out, tons of Democrat senators fighting off challenges in states that Trump won. In the House, just think of it. I know it's 435 and you need 218 and blah, 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 blah. There's math. Here's what you need. Right now, there are about 200 Democrat, strong Democrat or leading Democrat seats. And there are about 200 leaning Republican or strong Republican seats. So there's 400 right there, leaving up 35, roughly 35 in the middle. That is where the battle is going to be fought. That is where somebody is going to win it. Right now, there are 193 Democrats and 236 Republicans. 218 is what you need to win. And again, right now, the Democrats have 193 face a pretty strong likelihood of having 200, maybe even 205. I mean, that's pretty well baked in at this point. If they get 13, let's say it's 205. If they get 13 more than that to get to 218, it's Speaker Nancy Pelosi. 13 more. And that's out of roughly 30 that are toss-ups. So if let's say it's an even 30 that are toss-ups and they get 13, well, that means we got to get 18 and keep them at 12 in order to have a one-vote margin. All you need is one to be in the majority. So that's where we are. That's where we are. Those about roughly 30 toss-ups where the battle will be fought and won. All righty, 9:51, Mark Davis, exit 2 next.
Sports
So last hour I played Stephen Bishop's Save It for a Rainy Day, for this rainy day. And I said, you know what? We're going to close it out with the Jayhawks.
So sad. Don't look so sad to be there's another part to play.
And a song of the same title. On this rainy day, we thank you, producer Rhonda K. Moreland, technical guru and spiritual advisor Shane Bell, news ace Gordon Griffin. God bless our country, our families, our troops. Mike Gallagher's next. I'm Mark Davis. See you in the morning on 660 AM The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.